And we are back. The morning show, Mountain Home Radio. That first break is just not as long as it used to be, Robert.
Well, no, but that's because we're across the street from Hardee's.
Well, yeah, stop on by over there. There is no line over there in the drive-thru right now, and I hesitate to say that. I said that the other morning, and like within 5 minutes, the line was lined up through the parking lot and out.
Well, that's why.
Yeah,
because you said that there was no line, so everybody had it over there.
And we are almost had an accident pulling in, had two cars trying to get in the driveway at the same time. So.
Well, it's a good thing the radio has no power.
Yes, yes. So stop on by over there, grab yourself something great to eat or drink, some delicious breakfast combinations over there, and the official programming coffee of programmers everywhere. That's an informal survey taken by about 250 people that I personally know that program. So, Gail, you missed out on a whole discussion once upon a time. They were trying to figure out which was the best coffee for programmers who are oftentimes up late at night trying to get the last couple of lines of code to actually work and resolve themselves. And it came down to a very close vote between Dunkin' Donuts and Hardee's Coffee as the best coffee for coders to work off of.
Okay.
And somehow or another, Hardee's just managed to have the best coffee for coders. And I have, that's like I said, it's very informal. It wasn't like it was a nationwide survey or anything like that. I just run around in the circles where a lot of my friends actually write the code that make the wheels spin. And they said that Hardee's is the stuff they use.
Well, that's because we don't have Dunkin' Donuts, right?
That's what I was just fixing to say. There's a lot of places that Dunkin' Donuts is not.
But I will say,
yes.
Hardee's coffee is very good.
Yes.
Dunkin' Donuts coffee is very good.
Exactly.
And McCafe is very good.
Nah, I don't know about that.
Well, yeah. It's all different ways to start your day. Basically, 2 o'clock in the morning when you're needing that coffee fix.
Scott, why don't you need to ask her if you could say something.
It's all good. Basically, it was decided that at 2 o'clock in the morning, if you're coding, that Hardee's was the place to go to get coffee. And so I thought that was because it was the best coffee. No, it turns out that a lot of Dunkin' Donuts are actually closed from like midnight to 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
So the results might have been skewed. But stop on by Hardee's, get yourself a cup of coffee. It'll be delicious either way.
Yes.
And your Fruit Loop Donuts.
And my don't buy my Fruit Loop Donuts.
Fruit Loop Donuts?
You've not had Fruit Loop Donuts?
I can't eat donuts.
Oh, you don't know it. Do you remember?
Oh my God!
You remember the taste that Fruit Loops had back in the early 70s,
yes.
Where the grape was the purple was actually grape flavored,
yes.
And the green,
yes.
was actually sour,
yes.
apple flavor. Those donuts have those flavors, and
exactly.
they are absolutely fantastic.
Kind of like Starburst.
No. These are better because they are the Fruit Loop flavors. I mean, it tastes
like Fruit Loops.
They taste like the Fruit Loops you remember from your childhood. It's not like you bite into a Fruit Loop today. It's purple, and you get a little taste of everything.
Yeah.
No, these you bite into a grape donut over there. Oh, it tastes like a grape Fruit Loop. You bite into the cherry. It is most definitely the cherry flavor.
Oh,
from
yes.
Fruit Loops. It is a most wondrous thing. Stop on by over there and get yourself something to eat or drink. And yes, Gail may have to have a donut now after that. Just a little sample on her tongue, just to see if the flavor is it's all true.
All I can say is you don't know what you're missing.
You don't know what you're missing. And I have not. I'm trying to think. I have not had to buy those since they were reintroduced early this year. I think that I've been gifted at least one box, in some cases, a day since then.
It's a good thing I'm not seeing this, or we'd be doing some kneecapping.
Kneecapping going on. It's been a regular household treat at my house now for about 3 months.
Somebody's buying you donuts?
I have, no, not somebody, somebody's. Yes, it is just the strangest thing in the world. I've bragged about those things on a regular basis, and I still have friends that walk up to me, oh, yeah, I was stopped in Hardee's this morning, and I thought of you, and so they hand me a box of donuts.
Yeah.
That's very sweet of them.
It is fantastic. I'm very
fortunate.
People
actually like you.
Well, I don't know if they like me or they're just trying to bribe me.
They may be just trying to put food in his mouth so he'll shut up.
That's a possibility there, too, that actually was broached by a couple of people. So. It's entirely possible that Robert's on the right track with
that's
that.
What they do to me.
I'm not going
to
say no. So, you stop on by over there, get yourself something to eat or drink, all kinds of great food and drink over there at Hardee's. Hardee's?
Because it tastes better.
Stop on by and have a great time.
And it's hump day.
It's hump day, yes. So, all kinds of great stuff happen in the advertising world, and it is really... I watch TV a lot of times anymore for the commercials rather than the content of the shows that are on. As weird as it sounds, there are some great, great commercials out there right now. But Robert and I have had quite the chuckle this year for anybody that is a regular listener. The Geico lines have just been They've been played to death, for a lack of a better way to put it. I was trying to think
but
of a
they're still
way.
Not old.
They're still not old. There were some great classic Geico commercials out there. Unfortunately, we have to put up with Flo a little bit more often than we want to from Progressive, so Geico has to counteract that, and the little Geico lizard does a great job of that. But
So does the pig.
Well, so...
I love that pig.
Oh, the pig? Oh, yes, the pig is fantastic.
I love that pig.
And the first time I saw that, my wife was trying to figure out what the pig was doing in the passenger seat, hanging out the window. And I said, the little piggy's going wee, wee, wee all the way home. I had tears in my eyes, and as soon as she heard that, she did too. It's a classic advertising commercial. But
so easy a caveman can do it.
So easy a caveman can do it. Well, that was okay. That was another one that was in the running for the all-time classics, but... the winner was
Caleb.
Something we have talked about, and Gail, you're very fortunate you're here for this on a Wednesday, because the winner of this year's, I shouldn't say this year's, the competition was all these classic commercials thrown in there. The overall winner was this camel walking through, hey, what day is it? What day is it? Hump day! And so that was the winner. So the first commercial talking about the winner, they show the camel is in wardrobe, getting his makeup done, getting all primped and primed and ready for his
in his own dressing room.
Yes, he's got
he's
his own
star.
He's a star now. So I cannot wait to see what Geico does with the camel for their grand finale commercial. But it's going to be hard to beat.
And if people haven't seen that commercial yet, they've got to go check it out on YouTube or someplace.
It's really sad when we're telling people to go watch commercials.
Well, that just means that we're actually doing something.
When you consider the programming that's available, the commercials.
Well, commercials are better in some cases. That is certainly true. It is terrifying, some of the stuff that is out there. So the commercials sometimes are some of the better content.
We have 300 channels, and we can't find anything to watch except the commercials.
I'm still saying that sometimes commercials are the best part of the programming. We'll just leave it at that.
Did you know that the newest Superman saga is coming back tonight?
I've heard they're doing another reboot, yes.
Well, no, I mean, they've got a new program from the saga, but this is back on Krypton. And Krypton starts its new season tonight.
Krypton starts its new season tonight. That's right. Yep. I figured, you see, that sort of surprised me.
Oh, I'm a Superman nut.
I knew you were a Superman nut. It sort of surprises me that you went there for that with all the new stuff.
I just knew he was a nut.
Well, yes. And, yeah.
She sees it daily.
Well, if you hadn't been out there, you know, cutting your grass out there with your underwear on your head, nobody would have noticed. Just
no,
saying.
It wasn't that. That was Narcan. Never mind.
Yeah, you would get kicked. Hey, the good news is the Hogs are headed to Omaha. Didn't
yes,
get a chance
they are.
To talk to you about that yesterday. So we will see the Omaha Hogs in action. I think they take to the field this weekend. I have not seen the official schedule yet.
We play Florida State on Saturday.
Florida State on Saturday. That's why Robert gets paid the big bucks, $1.694 an hour, to have information just like that right at his fingertips. We need to take a quick little break. I do have Gail Clark in here, and we've got some financial information from Edward Jones. And for once, I'm not leading off with the sky is falling. So we'll visit with her in just a couple moments. Right now, I need to tell you, you're listening to the morning show here on Mountain Home Radio. And we are back. The morning show, Mountain Home Radio. It is Wednesday, 7:34 for those looking at their clocks this morning, making their drive into work. Still plenty of time to get where you need to be. If you have a couple of extra moments, stop on by, visit with the folks over there at Hardee's, grab yourself a cup of coffee or something delicious to eat. Hardee's?
Because it tastes better.
Stop on by and have a good breakfast here this morning. I've got Tommy Hagen, Seal Gasecki in the studio with us this morning. We've spent the first little bit talking about a brand new idea for some gardens here in this area, but we need to get to some of the business at hand. I sort of alluded to the fact that you guys have monthly meetings that go on over there for the master gardeners, and everybody's invited to those things. They're extremely informative and educational for somebody that maybe has just arrived at this area, or maybe they've threatened for a while to show up. Mm-hmm. Anybody's welcome to come see you guys.
They are, and we meet on the second Thursday. We meet from 1 to 3 at the First Presbyterian Church,
right.
And we have a super arrangement with these guys. They let us meet there for free, but we take care of their little garden out in front of their church.
Yes.
If you want a photo opportunity, go over there. Mm-hmm. If you want to take some family photographs, this is a fantastic place to do it. And I'm bragging on this, but it really does look nice. It's very, very, very pretty. But the meetings are open. Like Seal said, we have fun. It's a, what would you say, 75 people, maybe 100 people in there. People can ask questions. We have business sessions, obviously.
Right.
But we always have a speaker. And we have great speakers. And the topics vary from, you just can't, they're vary from beekeeping to the hardy hibiscus to whatever. And then we have a horticulture. We take a break and eat. That's the good
that's
part.
That's the important part of the meeting. Yes.
And good gardener.
There's more ladies than there are guys. Harps and get some cookies, and people like my cookies. But anyway, but they
he
also
buys well.
They also have some other health stuff and good food to eat. And then we come back and talk about things that are going on, and
right.
it's a fun time. You're going to spend about an hour and a half to 2 hours. The people are all friendly. Everybody mm-hmm. has a good time. We laugh, joke. Anyway, we'd love to have you. You're open. We're not going to press you. If you do decide to join, the dues are nothing. That's
right.
Like $10 or $15 a year. So it's not an expensive club to be a part of. So
we have to warn you though. There's no July meeting.
That's
right. There is no July meeting. Yes, I was getting ready to talk about that because for some reason you guys think that it gets hot with summertime.
Well, a lot
of
people
have vacations. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly right.
We go party. It's time to do something else besides. It's too hot to be out in that garden, so we go to somewhere else.
Well,
but anyway,
so you're looking at it the wrong way. You spent all spring and early summer starting to get that garden up to where it is. You can spend the summer months in July admiring your handiwork.
This guy's got a positive attitude. I'm liking him. Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of admiring the handiwork, we're going to be part of the Red, White, and Blue Festival.
Yes,
coming
you are.
Up, all right.
Yeah.
I'll have to stop by there.
Next Saturday, mm-hmm. June 29th, from 10 to 1, all of the Master Gardener projects will be open to the public, and there will be Master Gardeners there to answer any questions.
Fantastic.
And we'd love to have you. We'd like to go through some of the gardens and let you know what's available.
Right.
Just told you about Memorial Gardens.
Yes.
That's a little one. It's small, but it's beautiful.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous. Yes, yeah.
Cooper Park is another one. Now, Cooper Park is the most busiest place in Mountain Home. Anyway, I was there last night, but they have walking trails, and we have one or two other little cabins that we take care of
right.
as you walk through there in Rapsbaran. Anyway,
yes.
We keep it up. And that's not one I work on, but they've done a fantastic job. Lots of neat plants. You can kind of see what some of the native plants are.
Okay.
The extension office is probably the most visited or seen because it's right on the
interstate. It's most visible, for sure.
It's most visible. It's right on the interstate. It's beautiful, and it changes all the time. It's these ladies do a fantastic mm-hmm. job there. The new one is the library garden.
Yes.
I was there yesterday or the day before.
That is
and
so
again, I had my camera with me. But if you have a minute or two of time, that's the place to go by mm-hmm. and see right now. It is fantastically beautiful. And we call it the pollinator garden. But it's really neat. It's right where you drive in to drop off your books.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right there. Park your car. Go over there and look at it. It's pretty. You can take a photograph from any angle, and they all turn out good.
Yep.
But there's several others that Seals will tell you about. So
we love the Calista Ouellette Native Plant Garden.
Yes.
It's over at Calista Ouellette Park. If you drive in right before you get to the pavilion, you turn left on that little road, drive mm-hmm. to the parking area, and there's a paved trail to walk in, so it's handicap accessible.
Yes, ma'am.
It's about a tenth of a mile to a little glade in the mm-hmm. middle of the forest with a little pond right there, and it's all native plants.
Yes.
Now, they're not all native to Arkansas, though many of them are, but they're native plants that grow here.
Mm-hmm.
We water minimally unless it's really, really hot
right.
and dry. But we only come out there twice a month to weed and such, so it's something that will grow here with a minimal amount of care.
Right.
So that's a good thing to do, all right? We also have two outlying parks. We have at the North Fork Fish Hatchery.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a planting around the visitor center there,
mm-hmm.
and many of the plantings there are native plants. And if you go over to Bull Shoals, all right, that over there, there's a place that we plant near the spring, and I've seen many people go there for their weddings.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gorgeous spot,
it
too.
Is.
Absolutely. I would go over there, and we also have a nice planting at the store right there where you launch your boats.
Right, yes.
And many times we have herbs and such over there,
Very
so it's
cool.
a nice place to go
okay.
as well, all right? And then we have a nice planting at the fairgrounds at the education
yes,
building.
Yes, you do. Yes.
And that is just a pretty place to be.
Mm-hmm.
They go there once a month, and you'll learn something about what grows here easily. And I know I'm missing one. No, I think we got them all.
I think you hit them all.
Yes.
I think we got them all.
Kind of funny that Crystal Ouellette,
yes.
that park was not always known by the name Crystal Ouellette.
Right.
It used to be Twin Lakes Park.
Yes.
And guess who got that name changed? That would be the Master Gardeners.
Yes.
I was not the guy that spoke up for it, but I was the guy. I was in the room when that happened, and that was a cool meeting, the way that all turned about. But anyway, a story for a different day. But Master Gardeners was instrumental in getting that changed.
Yep. You are listening to The Morning Show here on Mountain Home Radio. I'm your host, Scott Ramos. I've got Seal Gusecki, Tommy Hagen in the studio joining Robert Lyons and myself this morning. And we've been talking about all the stuff the Master Gardeners are involved with, the projects through the area. The Red, White, and Blue Festival is a chance for you guys to show off all these great things to people that maybe don't know that they're right here in our area.
Absolutely. Come visit with us. You'll see what grows down here with a minimal amount of care. None of the projects have people coming to them more than once or twice a month. Most of them once a month.
Okay.
We do go out and water when the weather's bad, and we need to do it. Beyond that, these are plants that'll tolerate our environment. Mm-hmm. So you'll learn something, and it's a nice day out to go for a walk and visit with folks.
Right.
If you have any questions, if the gardeners can't answer them, leave your name, and they'll get back in touch with you.
Oh, very cool.
And we'll also give you the opportunity to sign up for our monthly newsletter at any of these. We'll have sheets there for you to sign up.
Yep.
Just leave your email address, and we put a newsletter out once a month.
Fantastic. Tommy?
I was going to say, so you haven't really had to water this year.
Thank you, Lord.
At
you
all.
Lord. Thank you,
no,
Lord.
No, I haven't even set my sprinklers out.
Wow.
Yet.
Well, I was going to get you sort of jumped the gun on that. I was like three questions away from that. But I wanted to talk real quick. Tommy, you threw something out just so casually, and I don't think enough people understand the importance of pollinator gardens. First and foremost, what is a pollinator garden?
Again, that is something that we need. And this is one that I've actually been working on because Master Gardeners is – kind of got hot on this area. But again, all of our places for butterflies and different things to come back to, we've done away with a lot of that. We've clear cut, gotten rid of things, and now people are planting things. And I was out planting yesterday, as a matter of fact. It's a little late, but anyway, to try to attract butterflies, to try to attract different things that pollinate different plants.
Yes.
And again, it can be a wide variety. Just look up pollinators, and again, it's a hot item right now. Not only is it a hot item and you're doing good, you're actually making your yard beautiful because they're very, very, very pretty. So anyway, it's an important cycle that we as people come in, and again, I love Mountain Home and I love this area. But you drive down the road one day and you see this wooded area, and the next day you drive by and they've clear cut it. Again, I know we got cattle, I know we got all kinds of things, but we're still doing away with a lot of our under things that we need, and some of the bushes and plants that these things need. So,
a lot of different ecosystems in this part of the country.
A bunch of them.
One thing that I know that a lot of people don't really realize is how well a pollinator will relate to the success of their garden. And I know a lot of times if you've got a combination of those in your yard, you'll get to see some extra butterflies and some bees in the yard. But you're also giving the wildlife a chance to survive and thrive in that area that you're taking care of.
It's a win-win-win. It's a win-win-win.
Believe it or not, Robert, we're going to go to break on time for a change. So we're going to take this quick little break right now. You're listening to The Morning Show here on Mountain Home Radio. We're simulcast live across all three of our Mountain Home Radio stations, KJMT 97.1, KCMC 94.3, and KRZP 92.7. Seal, Tommy, Robert, and I will help close things out this morning right after this. And we are back, The Morning Show, Mountain Home Radio. It is Wednesday morning. It is so much fun to have Seal and Tommy in the studio. For anybody that doesn't know, for all the talk that we do on the air, it doubles when we get off the air because we break down in our own separate conversations. So all kinds of great stuff behind the scenes. But we need to talk about the stuff that's going on with the Master Gardeners. And Robert sort of got ahead of where I wanted to go here. But we'll get back to that. Robert, you'd asked the question about watering. And we've looked up at the skies this year and are seeing similar situations to what we're seeing right now here in Mountain Home. Dark and cloudy and gloomy, and we've seen a lot of waterfall. I think we were like 4 or 5 inches over our yearly average already this year. And I know...
Only 4 or 5?
Well, it may be more than that. That was the last time I checked the official count, so it may be more than that by now. All this water coming down, it's great for plants in one way, but it's bad for plants in another. I want to ask a twofold question. There are plants out there that require just a bare minimum of water, and I know that those are sometimes the late spring, early summer plants, and there's a lot of plants out there that require a whole lot of water. How have you guys balanced out what to put in the ground and when with all the strange and wet weather we've had this year?
Well, first of all, if you have a succulent-type plant that is going to want drier conditions, you need to plant it in such a way
that when we get too much water, the water drains off. It's in a container, perhaps.
Okay.
All right. And that container can then be moved out of the rain,
right,
if it's really that bad, or it drains well enough where it isn't going to matter.
Okay.
So you want to play with that, and you're not going to put it. You know, I have some succulents planted. One is hanging on a fence rail, and it's under an eave, so it doesn't get all the rain.
Okay.
But when I do water that area, I make sure, if it's been wet, I make sure the sprinkler's set not to hit it.
Right.
So you just play games like that in terms of the things that you can't. There's some conditions, when you get this much rain, you may get mildew and that kind of thing. That you just need any plants that are susceptible to mildew, you try to plant them where they're going to get good ventilation.
Okay.
Air circulation will help with it. It will not eliminate it.
Right.
Sometimes things just happen, as they say.
Okay.
All right. And you just have to live with it.
Yep.
Right now you got Japanese beetles out, and they're eating up the rose bushes, which they do. Well, I did just learn the other day that they like zinnias as well. All right, and it's just they're there, and that's life. And
well, yeah, but they like spray on the roses. They're going to find the next best tasty plant they can find.
Well, or you tolerate it because they only last a few weeks,
right,
and if unless they're going to completely defoliate something, the plant should tolerate most of it.
Okay.
Again, pick them off, drown them. That's
right.
I would prefer that you do to them as best you can.
Yes.
Well, that's what you do. You take some soapy water with you in a glass and just pick them and drop them in there, and life will go on.
Okay.
And that'll take care of it rather than using a pesticide on them.
Quick trip brought to you by Seal.
I got a quick question for you as far as you were talking about conditions. As far as plants go that might mildew, can you also do that as with Can you also help them out there by doing pea gravel or sand in the soil to make it a little more free-flowing?
You can certainly do that. Remember, though, that anything of that nature is going to absorb heat. So when it gets hot and dry, you're going to reflect more heat up against them. If it's a plant that will tolerate that, that's fine.
Okay.
If it's not, then you may trade one problem for another.
And you might even get root rot.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. All right, as long as it doesn't hold water. With the gravel, it should drain away into the soil below, and our natural soil here drains pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So
this last year, she was talking about succulents. I planted a little succulent garden in a old watering device, bird bath, but I drilled holes in it.
Okay.
Well, it was beautiful. I was actually taking pictures of it. But anyway, it's pretty. It looked good. And then this wintertime came along, and it looked horrible. I thought, oh, man, all this hard work is for nothing. And it came back out this spring. And, again, it was a little late coming out, but it is making a show all over again.
Okay.
But, again, as long as it gets drainage, you can't let them have water standing on them. They'll be gone in a heartbeat.
Right.
Well,
but as long...
Some of your succulents will come back and some won't.
Yeah,
depends what you're buying. And if you have a heated garage, if you have it in a container that's transportable, even with a dolly or something, you can put it in your garage and see what happens.
Okay.
And perhaps get a better success rate. Some of them you need to treat as annuals, but we all spend a good amount of money on annuals, and whether it's something that blooms or it's a succulent, they're still pretty.
Yep.
And you can go, we've got on our website a directions how to make hypertufa concrete-like containers, and they look wonderful in those. I made one out of the top of a garbage can and used it for my form and just built it up, and it is beautiful.
Oh, very cool.
Now, I can't move it without a dolly. Okay.
Right.
But they will last outdoors.
Okay.
That was a class when I first joined Master Gardeners about 6 years ago. They taught was how to make these hypertufa containers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look like the hypertufa plant in my house now. I love those guys. They're fantastically beautiful. And like Seal said, you can make every shape that you want, whatever you can dream of, or whatever form you can see, you can make those things, and they're really cool. They're absorbent. They're neat things. So anyway,
very cool. We've got a couple minutes left, and I know there's a whole bunch more questions that we're going to have time to get into. First thing I want to ask right now, we are getting into the summer season. I know a lot of people out there are busy mowing their yards, and they've looked at that bush, and suddenly, well, it's blocking the light to the window, and so they just go over there and start hacking at it. A little planning is probably a good idea before you start butchering things out in your yard right now.
Absolutely. All right. Depending on the plant, there's a better time of year to prune. So depending on what it is, look up when it is to prune. If it's a spring bloomer, you want to prune it right after it blooms.
Okay.
If you wait till now, it may already be set in buds for next year, and you'll be cutting off next year's blossom you do. Your evergreens, remember, whatever you prune off an evergreen, it isn't going to regenerate like a shrub.
No.
So you need to be careful of that. Yep. Again, siting the right plant in the right place is the first thing. Always Huge. Look it up and do that.
Yep.
When you do prune, all right, you want to take the third of the branches out as close to the ground as you can.
Okay.
And then shape from there. That's the general directions on how to prune. Don't prune a maple in the spring when it's the sap is flowing.
Right.
You want to do that in the fall right after it goes dormant.
Yep.
Those are probably the quick tips on that.
A few basic things that are just for folks that are out there working on their yard right now, just to keep in mind as they're trying to trim things up and make things a little prettier for summer.
And if you have a dead branch, prune it off no matter what time of the year it is.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because it will suck energy from the plant trying to regenerate there. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do that, so it's best to get it off as soon as possible.
One of the things we got going on right now, and you guys all know it, we got deer everywhere. Mm-hmm. So anyway, be smart.
Yes.
Try to keep them away. Good luck. But anyway, to keep them away.
Yesterday morning at 6:15, I walked out the door, and the deer was standing next to my daylily and had just had breakfast.
Oh, no.
Yep. Well, at least it wasn't Tommy's hostas.
That's right. Well, my deck looks like hosta heaven. But anyway.
Believe it or not, that has run us out of time this morning. It's amazing how quickly this hour flies past with two great guests in the studio. Thank you both much for coming in here and stopping by this morning. And for all you listeners out there, thank you all for tuning in to the morning show here this morning and each and every day. With that being said, I am headed out the door, but I will be back with more tomorrow. Have a great hump day.